Dear friends in Christ, before I turn to my remarks for the homily today, I would like to read our bishop's statement. And as much as a number of questions have been raised following remarks which were recently attributed to Pope Francis regarding civil unions of persons of the same sex, our bishop says, parishioners of the Diocese of Arlington have shared their concerns and questions regarding reports of the Holy Father's comments in a recent documentary. Contrary to some reports, Pope Francis did not endorse gay marriage or in any way change the Church's constant teaching on human sexuality. Marriage is the permanent, exclusive, and fruitful union between one man and one woman. Human sexuality is designed only for the chaste union of man and woman in marriage. These are unchanging and unchangeable truths of the human person, known to us by both natural law and divine revelation. The Pope did not and would not teach otherwise. Indeed, he has repeatedly affirmed these truths throughout his pontificate. Again, contrary to how they have been depicted, the Holy Father's comments in a documentary do not constitute a change in the Church's teaching, nor should any reference to civil unions be understood as the Church accepting homosexual behavior as morally licit. Pope Francis' clear concern is that those with same-sex attractions be treated with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. May we be renewed in our commitment to pray daily for the Holy Father, who bears the extraordinary burden of caring for the universal Church during these difficult times. And I would simply affirm what Bishop Burbidge said, that the teachings of the Church regarding marriage and human sexuality remain unchanged. And as for civil unions, we as followers of Christ cannot support laws that would promote or protect immoral behavior. So, my friends, let us pray for all those who are involved in pastoral care of those who suffer from same-sex attraction. Now, turning to today's feast, the Feast of All Saints, we begin by asking a very important question. What is a saint? The word saint, of course, means someone who is holy. But what does that mean, concretely, to us who are disciples of Jesus Christ? I believe the answer is summarized beautifully, most beautifully, in today's passage from the first letter of St. John, a passage, by the way, which is among the most beautiful of Scripture, that first reading that we have today. It's something to stay with and return to over and over again. A person becomes holy when he or she embraces and fully lives his or her identity as a child of God. A person becomes holy when he or she embraces and fully lives his or her identity as a child of God. The apostle affirms twice that we Christians are children of God. Yes, we are children of God who is a loving Father. This Father, God, is preparing us for the full revelation of himself when we enter eternity, so that we shall see him as he is. This is the meaning of our lives. Right there, one sentence. This is really the meaning of our lives. We are preparing to see God for all eternity as he is. Our lives, dear friends, are a preparation for heaven. All the saints understood this, and because they understood this, they were persons imbued with hope. They rejoiced at being children of God in and through Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Through faith in the mystery of baptism, they understood that Christ shared his own filiation with his followers. Through the Church and the sacraments, Jesus continues to enlarge his family, the family of God, his kingdom. The saints had the hope that this promise would indeed be fulfilled in them. For everyone, true, but for them. Their ultimate horizon in which they lived their lives was heavenly glory. On this Feast of All Saints, the Church celebrates the great multitude of holy ones who are in heaven. And we know, my friends, that there are likely more, many more saints than those which the Church has solemnly identified. In fact, it should be the hope of each one of us, everyone in this church, to become a saint. And this is a well-founded hope. In the passage from the book of Revelation, the focus is first put on the seal of the living God. This is the seal of the Holy Spirit, which is communicated through baptism and confirmation. When we receive the indelible marks on our souls, which configured us to Christ in his sonship and in his mission. It is so important that a Christian receives both seals, one in baptism, the second in confirmation, so that he has the power of the Spirit working in his life for his sanctification, his growth in holiness. The grace of the Holy Spirit leads the saints above all to ongoing purification through the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ, which is received in Holy Communion and which takes away sins and purifies so that one lives the new life of grace now, keyword now, even as he or she prepares for eternal life to come. And what is the new life of grace? What is this new life? It is summarized in the Beatitudes, which are always read on this holy day. The saints are those who, poor in spirit, are humble. They mourn the presence of injustice and evil and thirst for righteousness, first in themselves, and that's important, first in themselves, and then in others. The saints are consistently merciful and are peacemakers. Saints guard their chastity, seeking to maintain purity of heart in anticipation of seeing the one who alone will satisfy them, the living God. And saints are willing to suffer persecution for the love of God and the truth. Saints would rather die than betray their faith. Yes, saints are true heroes. And you and I are called to not only imitate them, but in every way to be like them. You and I are called to make the Beatitudes our own. And how can we do that concretely? What's one way we can be inspired? One way we can be inspired by the saints is to read their lives, to read the lives of the saints. You know, those who are teachers could read the lives of either, you know, St. John Bosco or St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Those who were librarians could read the life of St. Isidore of Seville, who actually wrote the first encyclopedia, you know, or the pre-encyclopedia, Isidore of Seville. There was a cause for him to be made the patron saint of the Internet. I don't know what happened with that cause, but I haven't really heard much about it. Isidore of Seville. Those who are lawyers, St. Thomas More. Those who are wives and mothers, St. Francis of Rome or St. Elizabeth of Hungary. Those who are fathers, St. Joseph. You know, those who are laborers, St. Isidore the Farmer. And on and on and on. Scholars, Albert the Great. And really be inspired. This past week, I got an email from a mother of a sixth grader who said, "Father, my son keeps talking about the priesthood, wanting to be a priest. What should I tell him? Where should I go for information about the priesthood?" You know what I told her? I said, sixth grader, right? I said, have him read the lives of saints who are priests. You know, like St. Philip Neri, St. John Bosco, St. Padre Pio, and on and on and on. St. John Vianney. St. John Vianney is pretty exceptional, though. You don't want to discourage anybody. Right? Gee, right. But you know, that's the problem with saints, right? They seem, you know, when we begin scratching the surface, they seem so otherworldly. Like, oh, I could never be that. But that's not true. In fact, none of the saints thought themselves to be exceptional. None of them. None of them. No? Now, the Blessed Mother undoubtedly knew she had a very exceptional vocation. But let me tell you, the saints were so humble in their greatness. So humble in their greatness. My friends, it may be that for various reasons we find it difficult to relate to God as Father. One may have had difficulties in a relationship with one's father, perhaps through human weakness. There have been natural fathers who were unable or sadly unwilling to live with devotion their God-given paternity. Quite a few of the saints had difficulties with their natural fathers. In our own day, there is no doubt that an absence of fathers as well as a lack of appreciation of fatherhood has caused serious wounds to family life in general and for society as a whole. God the Father, however, is entirely different, my friends. He forever seeks to give good things to his children. Most importantly, the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Jesus himself said that. He is never absent, but watches over us always. To celebrate the saints, members of God's family, is to celebrate the head of the family, from whom all grace is derived. Indeed, eternal life will have as its focus, think of this, eternal life for each one of us will have as its focus our delving with all wonder and delight ever more deeply into the mystery of the personhood of God. That's what heaven's all about. Then let us, my friends, make our own the reality that is ours as children of God. Let God our Father be our first thought in the beginning of our day, as well as the last thought at the end. Let us carry a consciousness of God's presence throughout the day. May we bless God in our daily work and in the ways we treat one another. May the family of the church be renewed by the increasing holiness of all Christian families. Let us be determined, key word, determined, to seek the necessary helps for personal sanctity through the sacraments of the church, beginning with an unshakable commitment to worship God at Mass each Sunday and holy day of obligation, whether in person, like us who are all here, or virtually through live stream or one of the other, you know, televised masses that are on there every Sunday. Let not Sunday go by without, you know, attending Mass. And let us be people of the Beatitudes, so that our joy as disciples of Christ, as children of God, may attract many multitudes of saints for the kingdom. Amen.